Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We have a beautiful message of love today in our readings. And who tires of being told that they're loved, cherished, adored? I'm sure as our students who are making their first Holy Communion have dressed to the nines today, you've probably gotten more than your share of compliments, and I hope so. Cherish it. It's a sign that you are loved, cherished, and adored. We're proud of you. We delight in you. And yet, what our second reading says is love doesn't just begin with us and our parents and our grandparents and those who love us. Someone loved us first, and it's God. God loved us enough to create us. The Father loved us enough to send the Son to literally give his life for us on the cross, to lay down his life for us, to show us mercy and forgiveness and healing, to show us the way home, to lead us from the cross to the resurrection. Those on TV, you might not get to always see the back window, but it is beautiful to have this beautiful image of the resurrection in our stained glass window. We get to see the love of God. And then as we realize that love, we respond to it. Jesus lays out what that love does for us. It brings us friendship with God, spiritual adoption. God calls us family, beloved sons and daughters. It brings joy to our heart. It's a beautiful thing to know that you're loved. It just lifts your heart. It swells your heart with joy. But also there's something wonderful about God's gift of love. It flows through us. It helps us to love God in return. It helps us to do the right thing when the right thing doesn't come easily. To love, to serve, to obey, to forgive others when they hurt us. And it helps us to be that witness to God's love, to bear fruit that will remain, to introduce others. Sometimes it feels awkward to share our faith. Sometimes that's kind of a very personal thing. We're told, you know, if it's faith or politics, don't talk about it in polite company. And yet, don't we talk about the ones we love? We talk about the ones we love and the time we've spent with them. And I'm sure the family and friends here are going to be spending a lot of time showing pictures of our first communicants. Oh, look how good they looked that day and how they dressed up. And here's them making their communion. And you're going to be proud about this. And you're going to be remembering this and reflecting on this for a lifetime. And what a special day that was. And we just have to remember, you know, when we love somebody, we love to talk about them because they make us proud. And why shouldn't we have that same relationship with Jesus, the one who has loved us enough to give his life for us? And the more we get to know and love him, the easier it is to share that friendship with others and to remind others when they're struggling that they too can go to Jesus in prayer. That relationship for us started at baptism. So for many of us, we were very little. Some of us maybe as teenagers or adults, but for a lot of us as very young. And so that first reading is a story from the early, early church where Saint Peter himself, as a sign of the mission of the church extending to all peoples and times and places and nations and all the earth. The first time Peter ends up baptizing a non-Jewish family. It's a first. And they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Peter's clear sign is that they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit before they're baptized. It's not the usual way it goes, but God can do what God wants to do. And it catches his attention. And it really opens the door to sharing that faith with the entire world. And so for us too, at our baptism, we received the joy of the Holy Spirit, an infusion of God's divine life and love, but we need to nourish it. We need to nourish it. Just as when we're young, you have that high metabolism and you need to eat frequently. I still miss my teenage appetite. Nothing disappoints me more when I want to get through the meal and then I get to dessert and I've run out of room. That is so frustrating to me. Like, I used to be able to do 2 plates worth and still polish off the dessert. What happened? And there's more of me to love. Honestly, what happened? When you're young and you're growing, you just eat and you eat and you need to nourish yourself to grow, right? And so the grace of God's divine life and love and friendship isn't just at baptism. When Jesus shares this talk that we heard in the gospel, where he tells the apostles that he loves them with the Father's love, that he calls them to be friends, and he also talks about what that love entails. You know, there is no greater love than to lay down your life for another. Jesus is saying those words on the night of the Last Supper. He's in the upper room. This is the night that he is betrayed. This is the night that he will be arrested, the day before he suffers and dies for us. And yet, in the context of that, he talks about giving his life for us. And he doesn't just talk about it. He does something very special, which we are celebrating today, and every time we celebrate Mass, Jesus takes the bread that they would celebrate ordinarily for the Passover, an annual Jewish celebration of the Israelites' deliverance from slavery in Egypt, which is more than 1,000 years before the time of Jesus. It's a long time ago, even from where he was 2,000 years ago. And he takes that unleavened, flat wafer of bread, and he says, "This is my body. It will be given up for you." And those Passover meals have a number of cups of wine. And he takes one of the cups of wine, and he says, "This is my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant." Right? This means this is not time-conditioned. It will always be available until the end of time. And it will be shed for you and for the many, so that sins may be forgiven. Those same words we repeat over the bread and the wine. And after that, they become something wholly different. They look the same. And again, we have to remember that when Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago, he was divine, but all we saw was his humanity. He worked miracles, yes. He healed people, he raised the dead. But all people saw was this, what looked like to them, the son of a very humble couple from Nazareth. He often gets described as the carpenter's son, right? Son of Joseph. They don't even recognize that Joseph isn't his blood father. All they saw is what was before them. And so when we give you the host today, after it's consecrated, "This is my body," it is what Jesus says it is. We can trust Jesus. He has always been truthful with us. "This is my body." It looks exactly the same as the bread that it was before, but now, spiritually, it is the presence of Christ. the Easter, the risen, the glorified presence of Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And Jesus is going to come to us. Why? So that we can receive him and be filled again as often as we need, as often as we come to receive, with his love, with his joy, renewed in his friendship, to give the strength we need to love others, to forgive them, to give witness to our friendship with Jesus, all those things that Jesus mentioned. He wants to feed us, to give us the strength to do so. And so we're going to come before the Lord today. We're going to prepare our hearts and say, come, Lord Jesus. And after we receive communion, and I'll give a few more instructions on communion right before we do so. After we receive communion, you'll notice that Deacon Ziggy and I, we gather the fragments. Because even the little fragments, the little pieces, if it's consecrated, it's still Jesus. And what's left over of his precious body and precious blood, we will consume and purify all the vessels. And that might take us a minute. And so, whether we're singing or we're just quietly here in the pew, after you receive Jesus, that isn't wasted time. That's the best time. Because you just received Jesus as your friend, as the one who loves you, as your Savior, into your heart. Talk to him. Welcome him. Thank him. That fancy word Eucharist that I've probably used several times already, it means thanksgiving. It means thanksgiving. Let's thank Jesus for coming to us and ask him for everything you need. That little time after communion, it's not wasted time at all. That's the best time. Just to close your eyes, take a moment of prayer, and let's, again, welcome the Lord, thank the Lord, and ask for everything we need. Tell Jesus that you love him. And if you're struggling to get to know him, ask for his help. Help me, Lord, to know you better. Help me to love you more. Help me to do the right things as you did, the right things, and loved us enough to give your life for us. Help me to make the best of my life each and every day for the sake of my family and my fellow classmates and all the above. May the Lord fill us with his Eucharistic presence, renew us in grace, and send us forth. One last thing. With the exception of a few extra photos today, you'll notice normally that Mass ends very swiftly after communion. That is entirely intentional. With the exception of a few announcements and such, once we pray the final prayer after receiving communion, there's just a final blessing, and then off we go. We're dismissed. Why? So that we can take Jesus now in our hearts out to the world. That is intentional. Go, you're dismissed. Take Jesus, the light of the world, out. Go illumine this world. Bring it joy. Bring it friendship with Christ. Be the love of Christ that is now glowing joyfully in your hearts. Let that love shine. Go in.